Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many things that will improve our mental and physical health. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, for all of you out there, I'm looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know that can benefit from a particular show. And after you hear this one, I think this is going to be one that everybody's going to know someone that can benefit from it. Now, I want everybody to know that I truly appreciate this, and this is just another way that we can all make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, our topic today, which is also the title of our guest's new book, is Arthritis Relief, The Future Is Now, Life-Changing Stem Cell and PRP Breakthroughs. Now, statistically, baby boomers are growing at a rate of 10,000 people per day and are expected to maintain that pace for a staggering 19 years. Now, among them are those weekend warriors and the Thanksgiving Day football all-stars that are now suffering from their earlier athletic escapades. And I'm afraid I probably fall into that category as well, although it may not be football, but it can be whatever your sport is. It can be hockey, it can be volleyball. Whatever it is, I think all of us are getting to that point to where we're starting to feel it. So our guest today is Dr. John DeWitt, and he supports the Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund and the After Impact Fund, which supports former NFL players as well as military veterans. His mission is to create a clinic where all the services needed for these warriors of both the football field and the battlefield can be helped. Now, some of the valuable therapies will include addiction treatment, vocational training, biofeedback for CTE and PTSD, as well as cutting-edge regenerative therapies, including stem cells and other growth factors that can eliminate arthritis pain and so much more. Now, a little background. John was a walk-on to the football team at Vanderbilt University, earning a scholarship after only one semester. He was awarded second-team All-SEC honors as well as defensive MVP at Vanderbilt and went on to play for the Houston Oilers of the NFL. The Oilers then sent him to Europe, where he won the World Bowl in 1996. Unfortunately, his best friend also played college football, and unfortunately, he broke his ankle and was struggling with a slow recovery. His struggles were more than anyone realized, and it ended up with him taking his own life in his sophomore year. Now, for the next decade, it found John playing in a variety of football leagues, from the CFL in Montreal to the XFL in San Francisco. But the loss of his best friend never really left him. After football, John went on to a year of pharmacy school before deciding to take a more holistic approach. He attended Southern California University of Health Sciences and got his Doctor of Chiropractic degree. He became an advanced sports nutrition specialist and is certified in concussion assessment. With his best friend's passing and his father's current diagnosis of dementia, Dr. DeWitt has continually been driven to study about brain health, concussions, and natural ways to protect the brain, as well as cutting-edge regenerative therapies, including PRP and stem cells, for arthritis. Personally, John suffered at least four concussions during his own football career. His mission is to share what he has learned both from a personal and professional perspective. Dr. DeWitt believes that if his best friend had had such therapies, maybe he would have not have chosen to leave us so soon. He sees his friend in each and every patient that comes through his door. John, welcome back to Answers for the Family.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate it, and I'm excited to share what I can. And it's an exciting future for everybody out there. And just hearing the story about my buddy, it just relights the fire and gets me more excited to get the message out and get the clinic going and really helping as many people as I can.
Well, you know, I've had a chance now to go through the book, and for those people that have been listening to the show regularly, they also know that that my mother has Parkinson's and essential tremors and has been going through some brain surgery. So this is something that is also very near and dear to my heart. So I'm just so thankful that doctors like yourself and many people are out there really looking at something that we are just scratching the surface at what it is that it may be able to do to help many people with a lot of things more than just, arthritis. And I know that the book focuses a lot on that, but I love the fact that really, you know, and for anybody, when you get this book, one of the things you'll see is that it's so much more than just that. But what I'd like to do to start with is, you know, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about, you know, something like, you know, the causes of joint degeneration, because I know that's one of the things now that when I go to the doctor and they say, well, you know, based on your age and based on the sports that you've been involved in all your life, they keep saying, well, it's natural. Don't worry about it. And I don't like that answer. You know, I don't like the fact that they say, well, you know what, at your age, this is just the way it is. I don't accept that. So share with us what some of the main causes are, but also why we don't necessarily have to accept that answer.
Well, a lot of the causes of arthritis, and now arthritis, just to break down the word so it doesn't seem so scary, arth just means joint, and itis just means inflammation. So when you have an inflamed joint, what's causing it? Well, it can be caused by an infection. It can be caused by trauma, which is usually what people tend to focus on when they're saying, oh, it's just because you're getting older. It's part of, you know, getting older. And that's why people get shorter as they age, because the discs in their spine compress and they get arthritis in those joints as well. Well, that doesn't really have to be the case, because we're a really amazing design. And if we give the body everything it needs, all the proper building blocks, the proper motion, hydration, things like that, then we can actually live. We're designed to live to be at least 120. And it's just that we're in such a toxic environment, and it's really hard to find really good, healthy foods, and none of us really are as active as we should be. We're just too busy, caught up in life and stressed out, and that tends to increase inflammation in the body as well. But also some other causes of inflammation and arthritis can be crystal deposition, which is also known as gout. And that can be very painful, and is usually caused, it used to be only back in the day that the royal people got gout, because it was from people that ate a lot of really rich foods and drank a lot of alcohol, and that caused their big toe, especially, is where it focuses for some reason, and it gets really big, red, and inflamed because you have those crystals around that joint. So that can cause a lot of pain. And then a lot of times you can have osteoarthritis, which is just the bone itself is starting to break down. And that can affect the synovial fluid around the joint and cause even more inflammation. And it's just one of those things that doesn't have to happen. Even if you have an injury, like with me, I had a torn meniscus in my knee back when I was with the 49ers doing my tryout. And that was before I even went to Houston. And I remember my knee just was killing me, and I was putting all kinds of lotions and potions on there trying to make my knee feel better. And it made the pain go away temporarily. But then when I started working as a chiropractor about 11, 12 years ago, the knee got aggravated, and I was really concerned that I wasn't going to be able to practice as a chiropractor, because I'm always walking around the table, and that's the worst thing you can do if you have a torn meniscus, because you're always kind of rotating around. And so I did an exercise that it's one of those things that it's so simple. If you know how the body works, it really can help you solve problems that you think are just, oh my gosh, it's all over. Because I thought I was going to have surgery, but instead I got some ankle weights and sat on a higher table, kind of like we have tables that go up and down in the office. So I would raise it up a little bit. I'd sit on the edge of the table, put the ankle weights on there, and just dangle my feet just a little bit. And what the weight would do is it would open up that joint space and then the movement just a tiny bit, and you do alternating feet, and that stimulates both sides of the brain, and that helps to heal faster. But then on top of that, I put a hot pack on my knee as well to increase the circulation even more. And even though the meniscus, all cartilage is pretty much avascular, there's not a lot of circulation in it, but the bone right underneath where that meniscus is does have a good circulatory supply. And so using the heat and the motion, actually, literally, people don't even believe it, regenerated that meniscus within 2 weeks. I have not had pain ever since. So there are simple ways to actually alleviate the symptoms and the issues that you have.
Well, and one of the things that I love about that is, and I also, snow skiing, tore my meniscus, and the surgeon that I saw said that I was going to have an operation. And I was fortunate that I also met a physical therapist that gave very similar, a very similar explanation, and said that, you know, you don't necessarily have to have that, that there are things you can do. And I was given very similar exercises, and I feel very fortunate that I've not had to be cut, because right. I was able to go about that. But, you know, share a little bit about what some of the therapies, and some of the therapies that were then, some of the therapies that are now, and some of the therapies of the future. And what I'd like everybody to understand is that to think about the fact that there are so many things out there. I mean, there was a time in which we thought the earth was flat, and somebody told us that it wasn't. You know, as we learn new things, we realize that there are better ways to handle things. So this is just another area where I believe that there's been enough growth that that we can talk about the different changes.
Oh yeah, because there's going to be, we'll talk about later, all the different studies that are going on now for the future of these treatments that we're going to cover, that it's just amazing. And I didn't even realize there were so many studies that had already been done, but we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. So the traditional old ways of dealing with arthritis was basically anybody that played any sports back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you always had an ice tub, like a big, I remember whenever I was playing in Houston, they would have a huge, like 33-gallon Tupperware trash can right in the middle of the shower room full of ice, and add a little water in there, and you just dunk your whole body in there. And it has a good effect. I mean, I thought it was one of the best treatments at the time because it was so simple, once again. But you get in there, and it's so cold it almost burns. And then it gets really cold, and then you get kind of numb. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, you get out. And the therapeutic effect actually happens after you get out of the ice, and the fresh blood gets back into the joint, and that's what helps it to feel better. So that was just your basic cold therapy. Acupuncture is another thing that's very popular nowadays. Mostly, it's funny because my sister actually used acupuncture for a fertility treatment, and it worked really well. But it also works for different pain points in the joints. Meditation is a good thing as well. Anything to kind of calm your mind and involves deep breathing and detoxing of the body, that is actually going to help decrease the inflammation systemically, and that's going to help reduce any arthritic pain. And there's also been examples with yoga, which also helps with range of motion of the joint, aromatherapy, an anti-inflammatory diet. Obviously, the Western diet is Arby's and McDonald's, nothing against them, but they're definitely not a place you want to be a regular patron, because the inflammatory effects of those types of foods really can aggravate your arthritis. And while if you eat more, drink more alkaline water, for example, that takes the pH of your body from an acidic to a more neutral position, and that actually is going to help to reduce some of the inflammation as well. And all of these have worked in the past, but none of them have been just like, holy mackerel, this is a miracle solution and things like that. And so what they've decided now is stem cells and other growth factors that you can inject into the joint itself are really having amazing results. And people tend to think nowadays, you know, oh, stem cell, it's like the new thing. I've never heard of this. This is scary, because they think, oh, it comes from little embryos or something like that. And that is the very, very old school way of thinking. And actually, you don't want to get the stem cells from the embryos anymore, because for one thing, it's from an embryo. And second of all, it's because the potency of those cells, it's not ideal for what you're looking for. So originally, stem cells were actually discovered in 1958 by a gentleman named Friedenstein. So that was in 1958, so a long time ago. And then in 1978, 20 years later, they discovered stem cells in cord blood. So now the interesting thing about the cord blood is that when this is usually nowadays, it's done when people have a planned C-section. The doctor will ask the mom, they'll say, okay, do you want to keep the umbilical cord and save it for your child in case they have any conditions later? We can use the stem cells from that and it'll help them. But about only 10% of the moms actually go that route because of it's usually a little cost prohibitive. So then they say, if you don't want to keep the cord, would you be willing to donate it? And there are over 450 blood banks all around the country, blood tissue banks, where you can get this cord blood. And there's a variety of different regulations to make sure that it obviously doesn't have any disease in the blood, doesn't have any specific markers that could react to your system. And I mean, it's just truly, truly amazing, because it acts kind of like hitting the reset button. Now, in the human body, we've already got stem cells in our body, and as we age, the number of stem cells tend to decrease, unfortunately, which is another exciting reason to use umbilical cord blood, because that actually has a much higher number of cells. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that having a higher number of cells is going to work better or worse, but it's just, and we'll go over an example of that in a minute, but it's just, it's one of those things where personally, if it's something that is safe and there's going to be a lot more of the viable cells in the treatment, then I would rather go with that. So there's the International Society for Cellular Therapy, or the ISCT. They have a minimum requirement for these stem cells that you get out of the umbilical cords. And one of them I thought was interesting, it has to be plastic adherent. And I was like, plastic adherent, what does that mean? And it's, oh, it just sticks to plastic when it's maintained in a standard culture in the lab. I'm like, okay, so it sticks to plastic. I guess it has to do that. But then it has to have cellular differentiators, and there's three specific ones that it has to have. It has to have CD105, which is crucial in angiogenesis, and that is just is a fancy word for saying it can make new blood vessels from pre-existing blood vessels, so that'll help increase circulation. You also have to have the CD73, which is specific for tumor suppression, which is always a bonus. You don't want to have any tumors. And CD90 is the third one that it has to have. And that actually identifies the cellular components of a stem cell, and it helps for axonal processes on a mature neuron. And so that might be something that's really applies to your mom's situation too, because there are cases, and my book, like we talked about, isn't really talking about some of the future and some of the on the fringes type of therapies for stem cells, but the fact that it can regenerate nerve cells, that's huge for people with MS, people with dementia, things like that. But I'm focusing on the arthritis for right now. And some of the things, the cellular differentiators that you do not want in stem cells are the CD40, 45, 34, 14, 11, and a few other ones, but that's just a little too technical, because nobody really needs to know, because they don't need to, they're not in charge of all that. But the key is,
John, let me interrupt for a minute, but just to be able to say, so, you know, for somebody out there that was sort of like the rest of us going, that might be too much information.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it might, but part of the reason that I think it's important that people, not that you need to explain it, but that you understand that there are other things that maybe aren't so good about it. So if somebody is going out there and they're getting this treatment, you need to get somebody that knows these things, you know,
right.
because we're now in a time in which, you know, people can pop up and they can start doing something. And if they are not professional, if they are not part of a group that has been doing this in such a way that they have looked at all of these things, that's important. So you know, again, I understand on the one hand, yes, that's over most of our head.
Right.
But on the other hand, for everybody out there, you know, the fact that it is something that needs to be looked at, understand there are people out there that may try to suggest that somebody use something, and if they don't know what they're doing, they can also do it wrong.
Oh, absolutely, because there have been a lot of clinics that have just popped up all over the place trying to take advantage of stem cells are popular, let's see how I can offer that for the least amount of money, and I don't really care if I'm injecting live cells or not into them, because, you know, they won't ever know. And that is something that, with this clinic focusing on the professional athletes and the veterans and all those people that have sacrificed so much, I would not, I mean, obviously they're not going to want to just go into some random place and be like, oh, okay. I mean, I want to have stem cells that come from a place that has an independent third party lab that analyzes each of the samples to make sure that it does have viable stem cells, and it'll tell me how many viable stem cells. And they also have to be able to differentiate, by the way, into osteoblasts, adipocytes, and chondrocytes, which basically just means bone, fat, or cartilage. And that's when they're in vitro in the test tube. That's the third requirement for stem cells. So it's go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, so on the one hand, what we're saying is that, you know, this is something that is potentially miraculous for arthritis, you know, and as well as for many other things. What would you say are some of the things that you see, okay, this is why I see it as being miraculous, because of this or whatever it is that you've seen as a doctor that maybe other people haven't seen, or that isn't just part of the hype?
Right. Well, it gets a little technical, but just on an anecdotal level, when I went to the Gridiron Greats Hall of Fame dinner in Las Vegas last year, Mike Golic, big star NFL player, got up on stage and said that he had had knee surgery since he was in high school and his knees were destroyed. And he had stem cell injections and literally said that he felt like he had brand new knees. And that was kind of the aha moment for me, where I was just kind of like, okay, I know nobody's paying him to say that up there. And the fact that, I mean, you talk about a messed up joint, and he'd already had multiple surgeries. So for people out there that have already had surgery, you can still benefit from the injections. So I said, okay, this is something I need to really look into. And for the specifics as to why that is with stem cells, it's because what happens is they're like a super, super all-natural anti-inflammatory is one of the things. They have anti-inflammatory and immunomodulatory effects, which I will explain that big mouthful of words here in just a sec. So the anti-inflammatory effects, now there's four different anti-inflammatory ingredients that the stem cell can secrete once it's injected. Now, one of those works immediately, and that's the interleukin-1 receptor antagonist, which I know it's a lot of verbiage, but it literally stops inflammation right away. It's a natural inhibitor of the pro-inflammatory state. It's key in immunomodulation, and what that means is when you have an inflammatory effect, that's T1-weighted effect in the immune system. What it does is it helps to boost and balance out with the T2, so the T1 and T2 are balanced, so then you don't have excessive inflammation. So that's what's key about the interleukin-1 receptor antagonist.
Okay, now, can I translate for you?
I wish you would. Sorry.
So, and actually what I'd like to do is not only translate, but just tell me if I'm accurate. Okay. I'm sort of mirroring back, and then tell me, going back to the giant ice bath. Okay.
Yes.
And as somebody who has iced various parts of my body, you go back and you have a giant ice bath. At that point in time, it is taking the inflammation out of our body. And then as we get out and we warm up, we are having, you know, fresh blood rushing to that area.
Right.
But it's very temporary. We're not necessarily fixing anything in there. We are just rushing. Blood is going to there, so we are bringing nutrients in. But I've always, as again, when I've iced and things, it's very temporary, which is why they keep telling us, you know, do it 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off, and all of these other things. Now, what I understand what you're saying is this is something that is going to make a much longer-term difference. Is that correct?
That is exactly right, and that's why with the interleukin-1, that is the one that has the immediate effect, but it's the other three that actually stop, they call it the downstream inflammatory effects. So it's not going to start it right away, but it's going to stop it from getting worse. And so those three ingredients are tumor necrosis factor A, stimulated gene protein 6, or just TSG6, and then we have PGE2, and TIMP2. Now, what those three do is it actually modulates the first one, the TSG6, it modulates and decreases the effects of the pro-inflammatory cytokine, which is tumor necrotic factor alpha. Now, I know it's complicated with all the words, but it's just basically saying that TNFA, what that does, it's found in many autoimmune diseases, causes a lot of disability, cognitive dysfunction, and things like that. And this TSG6, which is a part of what the stem cells secrete, can actually decrease the effects of that, which is always a good thing. Mm-hmm. And then with the PGE2, it's prostaglandin E2 is what it's called. It actually acts to suppress T cell receptor signaling and actually plays a role in resolving inflammation. So the net effect is it decreases that T1 and helps to balance out the T2 with the immune response. And then the tissue inhibitor, TIMP2, that actually specifically inhibits MMP2 and is also effective against MMP14, which stops the breakdown of a specific type of collagen called type 10 collagen. And so stopping the breakdown of that collagen actually ensures that your joint is not going to get worse. So those three there are the ones that work later on in the process, because the good thing with stem cells is they regenerate. So especially if you get stem cells from the umbilical cord, it can duplicate. Now, this is something that it's still, you know, researching it, because they can legally say it duplicates in the lab, which is in vitro, every 28 hours, those stem cells are going to double in size. Mm-hmm. So if you have 100 cells, then in 28 hours, you're going to have 200 cells. And that can go on from 60 to 90 generations. So it's always regenerating. And when it comes down to like bone marrow aspirate, you can get the stem cells from your own bone marrow or from your own fat cells. That doubles as well, but it slows down as we get older and if we're not as healthy. And with those, instead of doubling it every 28 hours, it's every 3 to 5 days, and it usually only goes for 11 to 13 generations. So that is the old school stem cell. But the umbilical cord is seeming to really kind of push its way to the top, saying that it's got more viable stem cells. But here's the thing. They say that it can do all that, but keep in mind, that's all in the lab. They can't go in and prove that it does that in the body yet. There's over 6,500 studies going on right now for stem cells, and they're trying to figure out exactly what it does in the body, what it does out of the body, and you know, trying to see which conditions it works with, which conditions it doesn't work with. And it's fascinating. And you can go to clinicaltrials.gov and you can type in stem cells. I actually did it earlier today, and it's over 6,500 trials, but then that's ongoing and completed, and they're recruiting for more studies. But there's over 2,500 that are already completed. So if people try to tell you that the research isn't out there, there's 2,500 studies that they've already completed on stem cells. So if there are any major red flags, that we would not be talking about this right now.
I couldn't agree more. Now, for those of you, if you're just tuning in, we are talking to Dr. John DeWitt. We're talking about his new book, Arthritis Relief, The Future Is Now, Life-Changing Stem Cell and PRP Breakthroughs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. For some of you that were taking notes, you can now Google some of those words so that many of us may not understand. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. I'm Alan Cardoza. You're listening to Answers for the Family, and we're speaking with Dr. John DeWitt. We're talking about some life-changing stem cell and PRP breakthroughs. Now, John, and I mentioned PRP, but many people may not know exactly what it is that that stands for or what exactly it does. So share with us a little bit about PRP and the platelets.
It's platelet-rich plasma, and that is something that's been around for a while as well. And it's a growth factor that really helps you use your own stem cells. It kind of helps build up any damaged tissue. And it goes along with something that's really fascinating. So everybody, well, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people, they can think back to their biology class and remember the endocrine system where they have the different hormones, it regulates the different hormones and chemicals in your body. Well, there's also something called the paracrine system. And what that does is it affects the area directly around each individual cell. So this is how the stem cell therapy actually works. So if you have a damaged cell, then it's going to put off a chemical signal. It's going to kind of like raise up a little white flag saying, hey, somebody help me because I'm in trouble here. And and that signal goes into the space, that paracrine space around the cell. And then the stem cells are actually attracted to that actual chemical signal. So if you get the injection, it goes straight to that site and it forms what they call a pericyte. Now, it's not a parasite, but it's periocyte. And what happens is the stem cell, it's like a lock-in key mechanism where it docks onto that damaged cell and actually helps to heal it. And then there's a secretion of cytokines and growth factors, which PRP is also considered a growth factor, like I mentioned, to the direct cellular metabolism towards tissue regeneration, which works with the recipient's own tissue. So that actually helps bring more of your own stem cells to that location. And so it's called paracrine signaling, which is just a cell-to-cell communication in which those stem cells produce a signal to induce changes in nearby cells, which alters the behavior and differentiation of those cells. Now, one of the things people get concerned about is like, okay, well, what's going to prevent just the stem cells going crazy and it just creates a whole bunch of overgrowth and cause problems like that? Well, that actually is something that the other growth factors, the platelet-derived growth factor, it regulates cell division and stimulates cell growth. So what happens is it'll stimulate more cells, but it also regulates it to prevent any overproliferation of the cells, which is important. And there's also something called the TGFB, which is the transforming growth factor beta, which stimulates cartilage growth, but it also regulates it as well, so it won't let it get too big. Because that's one of the things I was thinking about. I'm like, okay, well, so you get this injection, and what happens if all of a sudden you've got 5 gazillion cartilage cells in your knee that you don't need? That's going to be an issue as well. But it's already got these growth factors built in because the stem cells are smart. They know what the body needs based on that paracrine signal. And so it'll give it exactly what it needs, and it'll stick around and secrete those growth factors to help maintain it and make sure everything stays even and doesn't get out of balance. And there's some other really interesting things. There's something called stem cell factor, which actually directs the stem cells that you already have to go to that injured site, like I was talking about. So you get the injection, the stem cells go to the injured site where they're waving the flag saying, help me out. But once they get there, it sends off another signal with that stem cell factor, and that causes even more of your own stem cells to show up to heal it. So it's kind of like a double whammy. You're like really getting in there to heal it as quickly as possible. And it's just amazing that we have figured this out and that the body is able to do this, which we already knew because the body's really smart. But when you give more of those things that the body needs, the building blocks that it needs to heal faster, and you give it the proper signaling, it's just amazing what the body's able to do.
Now, based on what you just said, would there be some treatments where it would be best to do both, to where you're taking in, you know, some stem cells, let's say from your fat tissue, but then also having this additional treatment so that so not only are they multiplying, but is that so they're multiplying, but this is also bringing them to the right place. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, just as an example, because we talked about a little bit, when you're a little baby, we've got a lot more stem cells than when you get older. And so the example for that is if you have the bone marrow, for example, the bone marrow aspirate, you as a baby, you have one stem cell per every 10,000 cells. So that doesn't really sound like a lot. But when you're a teenager, you only have one in every 100,000 cells. So that's a lot less. And then when you're age 50, you have one in every 400,000 cells or stem cells. And then when you're 70 or 80, it's one in every 2 million are actually stem cells. So
wow.
If you take 100 cc's, which is 100 milliliters, I should say, of bone marrow aspirate in a perfect 50-year-old patient who's a yoga guru and eats nothing but vegan or you know, super, super healthy, you're going to get 10 million cells per cc, which equals a billion cells. Now, since that patient is 50, you divide that 1 billion by 400,000, and that means you only get 2,500 stem cells out of that. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't work. Like you said, I mean, it's always good to err on getting more. So that will work. But remember, at 9 months, when you're 9 months old, you have a much higher concentration of stem cells. So if we take those 10 million live nucleated cells and multiply it by say 3%, we get 300,000 stem cells compared to 2,500 in the bone marrow aspirate. So
how quickly are we losing them then? So in other words, how frequently would somebody, if I went in and said, okay, you know, I'm one of those over 50s, and so I'm at one in 400,000,
right.
How frequently would I need to come in to get injections to get the same rate as a 20-year-old?
Well, that's one of the benefits, is when you get the stem cells from the cord blood, you actually, those growth factors, remember how we talked about how they were doubling every 28 days and it can go for up to 90 generations? Mm-hmm. So it's an ongoing secretion of those growth factors once you get that. And sometimes people have to come in once every year. Sometimes it's once every 6 months. But it just kind of depends on the individual person. And it is, I mean, it just blows me away, because here's another thing I wanted to point out too. So what we're talking about is we have the autologous, which means that we're getting our own stem cells from ourselves. That's when you get bone marrow, they take some bone marrow out of your hip, and they spin it out, get all the stem cells, and then put it back into your system. Or you can do the adipose or fat tissue. That's the autologous, when you get it from yourself. If it's an allogous type of stem cell, that's when you're getting it from the umbilical cords, and they have a higher concentration of the mesenchymal stem cells. So now, say we already decided and already realized that if you get it from the younger ones, you're getting a higher concentration. But we also have to consider the difference in procedure time itself, because with the mesenchymal stem cells coming from the cord blood, all you have to do is defrost the sample and inject it, and it's 30, that's like 30 minutes total. But if you have to go through the surgery and processing of getting your some liposuction to get some fat cells out and get the stem cells taken out of that, that can take up to 2 to 4 hours. So it's not necessarily that the cord blood is so much better. It's just a lot more, it's a lot simpler, and you get a higher concentration of the stem cells. Now, I know there are a lot of people that have had great results with the fat cell stem cells process, and that's great. And I mean, especially in Southern California, you can get a tummy tuck and then get some stem cells injected. It kind of is a double bonus. but it's just one of those things that I feel like in the future, I think that the umbilical cord stem cells are really gonna take off.
All right, we have a listener question.
Okay,
this one reads: 2 years ago, my son experienced a torn rotator cuff while playing college football. He decided to undergo stem cell treatments. Unfortunately, we didn't feel it was very successful, and we found out later that they used fat cells rather than bone marrow cells in the process. Is one more successful for shoulders than the other? And can you comment on these two approaches, and should he try again? That says, thanks from Gerald in Louisiana. So, and by the way, thank you, Gerald, for sending in the question. I know many people work at this time of the day, so sending in a question, either emailing it or instant messaging in, we will always try to do what we can to get it, to get the question asked. And I've been told by many people that they go ahead and listen later on iTunes when they get off work. So let's give Gerald a little more information.
Absolutely. So I would like to, it was his son that had the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
And do we have any idea how old his son is, or is that not included in the?
It says 2 years ago playing college football. So
he was in his 20s, probably. 20s.
Yeah, early 20s.
Okay. Assuming he's playing college football, he's probably a pretty healthy guy. I would definitely look into the mesenchymal stem cells from the umbilical cords because of the higher concentration of the stem cells. That's the thing, and the reason that there's a lot of clinics popping up now that are doing this type of thing, because the FDA looks at it as, okay, they're trying to figure out, there's a lot of regulations as far as the FDA goes and the tissue bank regulations, but we'll go into that in a minute. But personally, the anti-inflammatory effects should be fine with the, I don't know exactly how badly the shoulder was torn. I don't know if he had surgery or not, but it's one of those things that I would much rather try stem cell again than having another surgery or having surgery, because once you have surgery, it makes it a lot more challenging. It's a lot more permanent. And with stem cells, it's something that is going to be regenerating tissue instead of just trying to like cut something out that's not working right or stitch it together or something. And I definitely feel like it's the, you know, you want to do the least invasive therapies first. So you want to try just exercise and rehab to try to heal the joint that way. If that doesn't work, then you can try cryotherapy. You can try acupuncture, chiropractic, things like that. If that doesn't work, then you can, I would personally think the next step would be stem cells. And then if that doesn't work, I would give it one more try, because it was 2 years ago. And I really feel like the advances that have been made recently are going to make it a lot more potent.
Now, I think that's a great point. It's just how quickly this is advancing. Now, is there an issue in regards to, those that are coming from our own fat cells versus the bone marrow from a umbilical cord, being the fact that one is coming from our own body, and the probability, especially for those of us that are baby boomers, the probability is that is coming from an umbilical cord is coming from someone else.
As far as having a graft-to-host issue,
a graft-to-host, a possible rejection,
right? Exactly, with, and that, yeah. And it's funny because people have asked that before, and ironically, the stem cells now, the mesenchymal stem cells, are actually used to treat pediatric graft-to-host disease. So It's not. I know. I was like, oh, well, that's pretty amazing. And it's all about how they are able to. So what happens is they get the umbilical cord. The mom has offered it and said, okay, you can have it. They take it into the room. They get all the umbilical cord blood into a bag. They send it off to the different site to have all of the red blood cells and everything else taken out of that. So you separate. So it's just the stem cells. And then there's no protein markers. There are no cell markers. There's none of that on the stem cells anymore. So basically, it's just like a blank check. There's nothing that's going to interact with anything, regardless of who they inject it into, because there's none of those little marker proteins on the outside of the stem cells that could interact and act as a pathogen for the patient.
Well, I'm looking up, and we've got about 4 minutes, and just a couple of the questions that I'm sure many people out there have, which is, how much does stem cell cost now? And where do you see it in 5 years from now?
Well, obviously, the cost is going to be dependent on where you are in the country. But I know that in Southern California, it can range from, depending on the site, you know, if it's an elbow, it's not going to be as expensive as if it's going like into a facet joint in the back or anything like that. But it can range from anywhere from $3,500 to $35,000. It just depends.
Wow. Okay, and I think I have an idea of where this is headed. But as this technology, is more perfected, as it becomes more mainstream, how do you see it changing, and how soon? So, for instance, where do you see it in 5 years?
In 5 years, I really see the life expectancy for us to be extended dramatically. I feel like I know for a fact, actually, that NFL players are using stem cells now while they're still playing as a way to prolong their careers, to make sure that their joints stay nice and healthy. And I think it's really going to be something that we're going to start. I'm not comfortable with the research yet to say it's going to cure everything, obviously. But there are people that say it's great for concussions, that's great for any neurological damage, things like that. I'm just trying to stick in my wheelhouse, as it were, and just focus on the arthritis of the joints. And there's a lot of other concussion protocols that I can do that don't involve stem cells. And I feel like it's really, really exciting. And usually when things are very exciting like that, the FDA gets a little jumpy, and so they're going to probably at some point step in and be like, okay, we need to figure out a way to regulate this. But because it's just tissue, and it's not anything, you're not allowed to add anything to it, you're not allowed to do anything except for the water for the cryogenics to freeze it, it's going to be hard for them to figure out a way to get their finger or into that whole program. But we'll see. But I think it's going to be amazing. I really am excited about it.
All right, now we've only got about another minute. How about side effects? You just mentioned FDA, and of course that immediately makes us think, okay, what are the side effects, if any?
The only side effects would be just like any other injection. Sometimes you could get an infection at the site of injection, I guess. Anytime you break the skin, that breaks the body's normal defenses against infection. Could be itchy redness around the injection site, but that's really about it.
Well, John, I just really want to thank you for coming on. And again, for everybody out there, I mean, if you get the chance, just go Google drjohndewitt.com. And if you're driving, you can't write that down right now, just go to the Answers for the Family site. We will have all of his information there. John, I really want to acknowledge you, because I feel as though that you have attacked a variety of different things. I know that from the standpoint of concussions, you know, that once you latched on to it, you went out there, you gathered as much information as possible, you wrote a book on it, and you have gone out and spoken on it to get as much information out there, so that not only people know that this is something that's occurring in the NFL, but also, you know, how this can relate to our children that are now playing sports and things like that. And And it was one thing to go into identify all of that, but now you have gone into this area of how can we fix it? And I think that is huge in the sense that, you know, and especially now we have a media that wants to tell you about everything that's wrong, but not only pointing out things that are wrong, but here's how we can fix it, setting up things to do that. I just really want to acknowledge you for sort of covering all the bases, and it's much appreciated.
I appreciate it, and it's especially the concussion stuff is always changing. I keep seeing new stuff, and I'm like, I got to go back and change some stuff in the book, but, you know, that's okay.
All right, so again, for everybody, go to the website. You'll find a variety of things out there that can make your life and the life of your loved ones much improved and more delightful. So again, John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. For everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when our guest will be Eliza Factor to discuss her new book, Strange Beauty, A Portrait of My Son. And this is a mother's experience parenting a child with multiple disabilities, including cerebral palsy and autism. And if you get the opportunity, please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. Or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. You can have it sent to you automatically, so it's waiting for you afterwards. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and we greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page. Check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please share them, like us, spread the word, and be good human beings. Do some act of kindness each day. It will help you as much as it helps them. Be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.